Ruth Reichel is the New York Times bestselling author of 5 memoirs, the novel Delicious and the cookbook My Kitchen Ear. She was editor-in-chief of Gourmet magazine and previously served as restaurant critic for the New York Times, as well as food editor and restaurant critic for the Los Angeles Times. Her latest novel is The Paris Novel, an adventure through the food, art, and fashion scenes of 1980s Paris. Ruth Reichel will be part of the Spencertown Academy's Festival of Books, celebrating its 19th season this Labor Day weekend, August 30th through September 2nd. She will speak at noon on Saturday. SpencertownAcademy.org for more information. The novel, The Paris Novel, is out from Random House, and it's always a pleasure to welcome Ruth Reichel to the roundtable. Thank you so much for being with us. What a delight to have you on the program.
Well, it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
I always enjoy our conversations. So what brought you to this idea of wanting to write about Paris during this time and to explore it, I would think, really quite separately from your most recent nonfiction work?
Very simple. I mean, what happened was my late editor, the wonderful Susan Camel, after I turned in my last memoir, Save Me the Plums, there was a chapter in it about me going into the world's greatest vintage clothing store in Paris and finding the perfect dress. And I mean, I looked at myself in the mirror and I was some creature I had never imagined. And I desperately wanted this dress. And I said to the sales lady, "How much is it?" And she said, $6,000. And I said, this dress is not for me. And Susan said, "I loved that chapter so much. Couldn't you write a novel about a character who buys the dress?" And the minute she said that, I saw the book. I thought, you know, it's like a Cinderella moment. She buys the dress and wonderful things start happening to her. And, you know, I have a master's in art history.
Yep.
I have always been fascinated by the woman who was the model for Manet's Olympia, because she was a woman who wanted to be an artist in her own right. And we know that she actually succeeded, which for someone who took her clothes off and modeled was a real feat, because in the 1800s in Paris, women were not allowed to go to art school. It was only for men. All the women artists we know about were privately educated. And this is a woman who was poor. And she somehow managed, because she showed 6 times in the great salon, and not one of her paintings still exists.
Mm.
And I was intrigued and I wanted to write my master's thesis on her. And I thought, okay, this is my moment. I can write about Victorine, the model. I can, you know, have this character who, I mean, my character Stella is someone who's had a childhood trauma, and she responded to it by making her world very small, very small. She allows herself no pleasure. She does the same things over and over again. And she suddenly is sent to Paris. Her mother dies and leaves in her will enough money for a ticket to Paris and insists that she only go to Paris.
A one-way plane ticket and a note that says, "Go to Paris."
Go to Paris. And so I imagined her walking into this store and putting on this dress. And the book, literally, I am not someone who likes to write. Like most writers, I will do anything to avoid writing. But this book, for me, was like every day I would pick up my computer and go out to my studio and said to my family, "Now I'm going to Paris." And I fell in love with all my characters, and I just couldn't wait every day to see what kind of adventures they were going to have.
You talk about Stella's childhood trauma, but this really has her in a very strict routine. And she has a lot of comfort zones. And this trip brings her out of those, which is for her quite disorienting.
Very. I mean, she has never made friends because that's scary. She has never had food. I mean, she eats like, you know, very modestly. And she has never, I mean, one of the reviewers said that the book was about the transformative power of pleasure, which is something, I love that phrase because, I genuinely believe that we are a Puritan nation and we don't understand the power of pleasure. And part of this is her eating great food for the first time and being blown over by the flavors that are coursing through her body. And the other thing that I really wanted to do, I mean, this is a book festival that I'm speaking at, and a big part of the book is Shakespeare and Company, which may be the most famous bookstore in the world in yes. Paris. The man who started it, George Whitman, was a fabulous character who lived into his late 90s. And he believed that literature was necessary to people. And his motto was, take what you need, pay what you can.
Hmm.
And he also allowed people to live in the bookstore. And over the years, 30,000 people have lived in that bookstore. And you can still do it.
And that is a place when you go into it, you feel like you're going, that you're in a different time, a different world. You can go into so many worlds in that bookstore. It's something that embraces you. I don't think I've ever been to any place like that in my life.
I don't think there is any place quite like it. And I've always been enchanted by the notion of becoming, George Whitman called the people who live there tumbleweeds. But he was also such a remarkable person in his own right. I mean, just the kind of generosity of spirit that he had. He was also cantankerous. But this notion of people need books. And I believe that. I mean, I believe that, books are kind of my drug of choice. And, over the years, like all the famous people who went to Paris, all the writers and artists all ended up at Shakespeare and Company. So I get to have them walking through the book. John Ashbery, who was actually a local, walks through the book, and James Baldwin and Richard Olney. And so there are a lot of real characters who sort of show up in this book. And I guess I chose the 80s because travel today is so different than it was before iPhones. You used to get lost. It used to be when you went abroad, you were someplace else. You weren't in contact with your other life. And so it was a time when you really could be really transformed by going to another country, because you had to live in that country. And today we're all, we're on our phones. We don't get lost. Traveling in the 80s even before was such a very different experience. And I wanted Stella to have that experience of really getting lost in a country and getting lost in Paris.
Ruth Reichel is our guest. The name of the new novel is The Paris Novel. It is published by Random House. So back to Stella. She is in Paris. She is alone. She, in some ways, is falling into her own habits. And yet, there she is at that moment to try on that Dior dress. And much like the experience you had, as you said, she's the person who says, okay, I will take it. What has to happen in her for her to make that decision?
She sees the woman in the mirror and she has an escape clause. The sales lady says, this is your dress. It has been waiting for you. And she does the first impulsive thing she's ever done, because the sales lady says, wear this dress and do exactly what I tell you to do. And Stella is a person who likes having a plan. And then the woman says, if you regret it, you can come back tomorrow and I will give you back every penny.
Hmm.
She has an escape clause. And she does exactly what the woman says. The woman says, "You will walk out of here and you will walk through this beautiful spring Paris day to Les Deux Magots, where you will order oysters and a chablis." And Stella, in the trance of the dress, of looking at someone she might be, someone who is so different than she is, and people look at her admiringly. And then she goes into the restaurant, and there's this beautiful old man sitting next to her. And he says to her, and he misinterprets when she has the oyster. She's never had an oyster before. She's never had Chablis before. And she is transported by the experience of the oyster. And she closes her eyes, and it's like jumping into the water. And he looks at her and he says, "You eat with such intensity." Because, for a Parisian man, you cannot look at a 32-year-old woman and think she's never had an oyster before. And he starts talking to her, and I love this character so much. He is this erudite old gentleman who he's in his 80s, and he knew Picasso and he knew Magritte, and he lived this very full Paris life. And the next thing that the shop lady has said is, "After you leave Les Deux Magots, you must go to the Jeu de Paume Museum." And she says, "Why?" And the sales lady says, "When you get there, you will know." And she says to the gentleman, "Now I have to go to the Jeu de Paume." And he said, "Oh, I used to work there. Let's go together." And he says, "I'm going to take you to my favorite painting."
And this is Jules, who is bringing Stella to these incredible things. And yet again, at that painting, another world completely opens up.
Yes. And she stands before this painting and she feels as if Olympia is talking to her. And then Jules tells her the story of Victorine, who so wanted to be an artist and that her paintings are all lost. And Stella suddenly thinks, "I have a mission. I'm going to find those paintings, those lost paintings." And so she is off on an event. And then Jules insists on taking her to dinner. And she goes, he takes her to Ami Louis, where he has been going since he was a child. And again, she encounters food and flavors that she has never, ever imagined. And the world just begins to open up to her. And she allows herself to be seen for the first time. And when she becomes a tumbleweed and goes to live in the bookstore, she suddenly has a community there, and she's never had a community. I loved her journey so much. I loved going on it with her as she gradually allows art and music and people and literature to enter her life and to watch her opening up. And of course, the other thing is, I love Paris, and I've been to, I've spent so much of my life in Paris. I went to French high schools and I've worked in Paris. And so it's also kind of a love letter to the city.
Ruth Reichel will be speaking at 12 o'clock on Saturday afternoon as part of the Spencertown Academy's Festival of Books. You can find out more by going to spencertownacademy.org. I loved you use this in the book, and you just used it a moment ago, of that term tumbleweed. And that, I mean, that is such a wonderful way to describe it, because there's sort of you're blown from pillar to post, but you're also being brought to where you need to be at that given moment.
Yes, and you're opening your, in some ways, you're allowing fate to have its way.
You are literally being brought in by the wind. That is bringing you to where it needs to take
Yes,
you.
it's very, Dorothy, Wizard of Oz. The wind changes everything.
You describe it so beautifully in the book, but you just said a moment ago of the intensity of eating. And I mean, no one can write that better than you, I don't think. I mean, that is such a pleasure. You were talking about the enjoyment of writing this book, but that has to be an enjoyment as well of not only writing about food, but writing about this woman and that experience of experiencing these things, whether it be an oyster or the many other meals of what she's experiencing through the time in the novel.
Yes, I mean, every meal in this book is actually a meal I ate in France in the 80s. But I got to reimagine, and I have all the notes, you know, because that's what I've done with my life is write about meals in restaurants. But to imagine someone who's not a child, I mean, when I went to Paris and could finally afford to eat in these restaurants, I was already a pretty sophisticated eater. Stella is a complete blank slate. So it was so much fun to imagine what it would be like to tasting all of these incredible foods. And it's, of course, the 80s in Paris is the beginning of nouvelle cuisine. French cuisine is changing dramatically. And she gets to experience that. And to imagine it as someone who is a complete newcomer to all of it was really fun for me.
And ultimately she finds Paris, but she finds a home. The loneliness starts to vanish, and she has found her way. She has found almost a true home.
Yes, I mean, this is clearly where she was meant to be. And she finds along the way that things that she didn't imagine that she could do, that she can do. And it's also very much, I think, about the power of friendship and how important friends can be when you let them into your world and let them see you and help you. You know, I mean, she's someone who's never let anyone help her before. I love being able to also, you know, spend time with some of these authors. I mean, you know, John Ashbery lived in Hudson,
Right.
and right before a few years before he passed away, he asked me to come over and he wanted me to write about his kitchen. And so I spent some time with him. And when I was leaving, he gave me this huge scrapbook that he had kept when he was living in Paris in the 50s of recipes. And it was just things he had cut out, and it was just wonderful scrapbook. And he said, you know, I take this home with you, you know, before you write about my kitchen, I want you to, you know, see how much I really care about food. So it was wonderful to put him into the book and put some of the conversation we'd had into the book. And also, I have to say that after he passed away, I struggled with myself, but then I called his estate and said, I think you probably want this
Want this.
back.
But as you said, this is what you do. I assume you took notes along the way,
Yes.
of course. Have you been to Paris since the book has come out and talked about it in Paris?
I have not. I have not. I am going in October, and people keep sending me pictures of my book in Paris. And some very lovely person who I do not know actually sent me a copy of the book that he bought at Shakespeare and Company. It's actually the English edition, but it has Shakespeare and Company stamped in the front of it, along with a photograph of the book in Shakespeare and Company, which is really a thrill.
Oh, that'll be wonderful to experience that. Yeah, good to go now that Olympic fever has died down. That's probably a better time to
Yes,
get the
yes.
city back to normal. The new novel is The Paris Novel. It is published by Random House, and Ruth Reichel will be part of the Spencertown Academy's Festival of Books, celebrating its 19th season this Labor Day weekend. She will be speaking at noon on Saturday. You can find out more by going to spencertownacademy.org. Ruth, it is always a great pleasure to speak to you. Thank you so much. Be well and have a gorgeous event.
Thank you so much. Lovely speaking with you.
Thank you. very much. Again, the name of the novel, The Paris Novel by Ruth Reichel. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.